हरि। जय यमुना तीरवन चारि, जय कुंज बिहारि। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। जय राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारि।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवर्गाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 15, entitled Parashurama ద లార్డ్స్ వారియర్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 41.
రాజ్నో ముర్దాభిషిక్తస్య వదో బ్రహ్మ వదాత్ కురుః తీతా సంశేవయా సంభో జగీ అంగాచ్యుతచేతనః రాజ్నో ముర్దాభిషిక్తస్య వదో బ్రహ్మ వదాత్ కురుః తీర్థ సంశేవయా చాంహో జహి అంగాచ్యుతచేతనః రాజ్నో ముర్తాభిషిక్తస్య వదో బ్రహ్మ వదాత్ కురుః తీర్థ సంశేవయా చాంహో జహి అంగాచ్యుతచేతనః.
Rajnah, of the king, Murda Abhishiktasya, who is noted as the emperor. Vatah, the killing, Brahmavatat, then killing a Brahmana. Guruhu, more severe. Tirtha Samshevaya, by worshipping the holy places. Cha, also. Amhahaha, the sinful act. Jahi, wash out. Anga, oh my dear son. Achyuta Chetanaha, being fully Krishna conscious. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a brahmana. But now, if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. One who fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is freed from all sins. Agam Tvam Sarva Papyepyo Mokshashwami. So from the very day or moment he fully surrenders to Sri Krishna, even the most sinful person is freed. Nonetheless, as an example, Jamadagni advised his son Parashurama to worship the holy places because an ordinary person cannot immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is advised to go from one holy place to another to find saintly persons and thus gradually be released from sinful reactions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Parasurama, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation.
Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshurunmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tatati Shva Patantikam He Krishna Karuna Shindo Dina Bando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shrute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Shindupyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam.
Such a powerful verse with lot of things which we can discuss. So before we continue, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, so that we can speak something which is going to be useful for ourselves to go closer to Krishna. So this particular verse, it has we can discuss about so many different aspects. There are so many different aspects which can be discussed. But in the interest of time, we are going to be looking at maybe three or four different things. Though I might be highlighting those different points, we might be looking at just one of those aspects. Because we have to end the class by 8:15, so we will not be able to go through all of them. The first aspect is here Jamadagni is talking to Lord Parashuram about how killing of an emperor is even severely sinful than killing of a brahmana. Lot of times when we hear these kind of pastimes or passages from the scriptures, the tendency is that I did not kill any emperor, I did not kill a brahmana, it is not going to be applicable to me. So this is something which somebody is talking, I have nothing to do with it. But actually we can see, if we carefully look at it, we can learn from each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, practical applications, how we can apply different teachings in our own lives. So that is one of the points I wanted to make. Because we are talking about killing of emperor and things like that, it doesn't mean that this is not applicable to us. We might not be killing an emperor, but due to the fact that we are living in this material world, we are committing lot of sinful actions. So one might say that after becoming a devotee, I'm not committing any sinful activities, I'm following the regulative principles and so on and so forth. But just as breathing, when we breathe, we are killing so many bacteria. So as we studied in
like high school science, we have a lot of living entities all around us. In this ambient air, we have thousands and thousands of microorganisms. So when we breathe in, those microorganisms are going to go inside our body and we are killing those microorganisms. And when we are, let's say, cooking, we are like boiling milk. When we boil milk, in milk there are a lot of microorganisms. We are killing those microorganisms. We might not be going and killing something on purpose, but just due to the fact that we are living in this material world, we are inflicting lot of distress to so many living entities, including killing. So that's all we need to take whenever we are reading these kind of verses, which might seemingly not related to us. I'm not killing the king, so it is not related to me, but we are killing so many different living entities, so we are incurring lot of sins. So how we can counteract this? So the second part of the translation provides us with the way with which we can counteract these sins. So Jamadagni is saying, but now if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. So just by becoming Krishna conscious, we can counteract all this, actions of different sinful activities. So that is the second aspect I would like to talk about, the power of devotional service. How devotional service is so powerful that it can remove sinful reactions and sinful tendencies. And for us to get a much better understanding or much better appreciation, we need to look into how someone commits sins. What is that particular cycle? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami lists all this. The root cause of why people are committing sinful action is avidya or ignorance. Obviously, avidya can mean so many different things depending upon the perspective, but what is the avidya? The main one is forgetting our relationship with the Lord Krishna. So we forgot that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and it is our eternal duty to serve him unconditionally. So when the living entity is forgetful of that knowledge, then that is the root cause of all other avidyas or ignorance. And because of ignorance, a living entity will develop something called bijam or sinful desire. So when the living entity has the sinful desire, that is going to fructify into papam or sinful action. When someone has when one's desire is becoming strong and strong, the sinful desire is becoming strong and strong, when the time is at an opportune moment, one is going to commit sinful action. So as soon as one commits sinful action, so there is going to be karma. So we are going to be getting reaction. So the karma we are going to be inflicting is aprarabdha, or karma which is not fully manifest. It is aprarabdha karma. And aprarabdha karma, it results in two different things. One is kutam are sinful disposition or sinful tendencies. So when someone is like in a committing sin and they are going to get some reaction, and as part of the reaction one is going to be developing this sinful tendencies or sinful disposition. So what happens when one develops these sinful tendencies? That sinful tendency is going to mature more, and that is going to become bijam or sinful desire. When we develop that, when the sinful desire is strong, we are going to commit sin. Then we have aprarapta, then we have kutam, then we have bijam, then we have papam, aprarapta. Like that, it is an endless cycle. It is an endless cycle. And like another reaction of like aprarapta karma or unmanifest reaction is that when there is an opportunity, the aprarapta karma also results in prarapta karma or manifest reactions. One has to suffer. One has to suffer the reactions. And in Vedic scriptures, so many different methods are mentioned to get rid of these sufferings. Because whenever someone is undergoing prarapta karma, so there is suffering which comes along with that. And there are so many different procedures which are mentioned within the Vedic scriptures, including prayachitta or atonement. And in Nectar of Instruction, the first verse, first text, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he quotes two verses spoken by Maharaj Parikshit. When he hears, Maharaj Parikshit is hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, he asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami. He says, you are talking about all this like atonement, but what is the use of these atonements? He compares the atonements to Sauchara Kunchavat, the bathing of an elephant. So like when we like observe an elephant, elephant takes very nice bath, goes into the river or pond or wherever the elephant takes bath in. So takes very nice bath, and when the elephant comes out of the water body, takes some dust, some dirt, and sprinkles all over his body. The reason why we are taking the bath is to get rid of all this dirt. Then what is the use of the elephant taking the bath? Immediately after taking the bath, if the elephant is going to be sprinkling all over his body some dirt, so the bathing doesn't have any purpose. We are kind of defeating the purpose of the bathing itself. So that's what Maharaj Parikshit mentions in those verses. If the reason why scriptures are encouraging someone to undergo atonement or prayachitta is that we don't want to get that to relieve someone of the immediate suffering. Why we want to get relief from the suffering? So that we can progress in our own Krishna consciousness. Because often these sufferings, when they are so great, we might not be able to fully focus our mind on Krishna. So that's why scriptures often mention about different prayachittas. So that when someone performs those, then they can be having a much easier path for practicing one's own devotional service. But if we are not going to be taking it seriously and practicing devotional service, there is no point in doing all these prayachittas. So in here, and also in so many other places, in different scriptures, it is again and again mentioned that the real atonement or the supermost atonement is reviving our own dormant Krishna consciousness. Why that is the real atonement or supermost atonement? Because all other atonements which are mentioned in the scriptures, they are going to be only helping us in getting rid of this prarabdha karma, or like, you know, like the manifest reactions and the sufferings which we are undergoing due to those manifest reactions. But if you recall, we talked about avidya, bijam, papam, then aprarabdha and kutam. So none of these procedures which are mentioned in different Vedic scriptures are going to help us in getting rid of those. So only thing which is going to help us is devotional service. When one is performing devotional service is so powerful that it not only removes the external suffering, but it is also removing the root cause of the suffering. So it removes the tendency for us to commit sinful actions, and it also removes, like, you know, it destroys the, like, our sinful desires. And because of devotional service, we also are situated in, like, you know, like, full knowledge. So it destroys the avidya. So in essence, all the root causes of us committing a particular sinful action is, like, you know, like, immediately, like, destroyed. And in Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that there are six characteristics of pure devotional service are mentioned. Like, you know, pure devotional service has six major characteristics. The first two characteristics are called Kleshagni and Shubhada. Kleshagni means the relief from material distress. So that is what we are talking about here. Like, you know, like, the both Kleshagni and Shubhada is all auspiciousness. When one is going to be getting rid of these kleshas, all these sufferings and the root causes of those sufferings, what is going to happen? We are going to create all auspiciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, even at the beginning stages of devotional service, even when one practices sadhana vaidhi bhakti, one experiences kleshagni and shubhada. So even at the beginning stages. So the devotional service is very, very powerful. It is not that one has to become, like, you know, really, like, very well advanced in one's devotional service to experience some of those, like, you know, removal of kleshas. But we can experience even at the beginning stages of our devotional service itself. And other characteristics of pure devotional service, they are experienced at later stages, at the stages of, like, bhava and prema and things like that. So we will not go into those. The main point I wanted to make is that even at the initial stages, we can experience the relief from different, like, you know, sufferings. And we can also see, as we are progressing in our own devotional service, we can see some of these tendencies, sinful tendencies, are fading away. They are, like, fading away, proportionate to, like, our own devotional practice. If we are sincerely practicing, then all these tendencies are going to be, like very minimal, or it is not going to be there at all. If we are not that sincere, still we will see that these tendencies are kind of slowly fading away. So that is the power of pure devotional service. No other practice, like, you know, prayachitta or, like, you know, other kind of, like, yogic practices, so none of them are capable of removing both the suffering and also the tendencies through which we are actually committing those sinful activities. So many of the other processes, they are good in removing the suffering, which we are experiencing immediately. But it is not going to remove those sufferings. It depends upon the process. Some process might be a little bit more powerful that is going to remove, in addition to the current suffering we are undergoing, it is also going to remove some of the future sufferings, the prarabdha karma. But none of the processes are going to remove even the tendencies, or the tendencies and the desires are due to the avidya or ignorance. So I forgot the verse. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita we have a verse which says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Antakara, right? So and Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is, wherever there is sunlight, we see that there is no darkness. And Krishna is like that sun, sunlight. So wherever there is Krishna, there is no influence of Maya Devi. So in essence, there is not going to be any ignorance. So that's why whenever we go closer and closer and closer to Krishna, we get rid of all this avidya. So a point which is related to this is that one thing we can notice is about the cycle of sin. As we see, because of the sinful desire one commits sin, and because of that there is an aprarabdha karma, and that is going to result in some additional sinful tendency. That sinful tendency is going to result in increased sinful desire, that is going to result in sinful action. So it is an endless cycle. So one is going to feed into other. That's why often when we see, initially someone is very pious, they don't like stealing, and for somehow or other they developed little bit of desire to steal something. So they might wait for an opportune moment to steal. So first time when someone steals, they'll be repenting a lot. Wow, what a great sin I committed. I need to be very careful to not commit the sin. And then because of the sin of stealing, now they develop the tendency to steal is going to be added. It is going to be embedded in the mind. And that tendency is going to result in increased desire to steal. So next time, the repentance is not going to be that strong. It is a big sin, but it is not a big deal. Something like that. And third time, and fourth time, and tenth time, by the tenth time someone is going to steal, one is going to think, it is okay. Because we are conditioned. That is why we read scriptures, it says, we are conditioned by nature. Why we are conditioned? Because whenever we are involving in these sinful activities, those kutam and bijam are going to be added into the subtle consciousness, that is going to force us to commit more and more sinful actions. So after some time, though one might be aware that stealing is not good, I should not steal, but they cannot control themselves. If they are going to be given an opportune moment, they are going to steal, because they are conditioned by the nature. So that's why we call the material energy it is called as pushing. It is more like someone pushing us from behind. We don't need to, like, you know, consciously, like, make an effort that I want to do that. Because of all the activities, sinful activities which we committed in the past, these tendencies and desires are so strong. These are so strong, so they push us, like, you know, away from Krishna. So that is why here Jamadagni is talking about why we need to take shelter of devotional service. When we are taking shelter of the Lord, when we are practicing devotional service, instead of getting ourselves subjected to the material pushings, we are subjecting ourselves to the pulling energy of Lord Krishna. By practicing devotional service, the Lord and the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, are going to pull us closer and closer to the Lord. So we need to, get away from the material pushings and go to, Lord Krishna's, pulling. So he is going to, as we read in so many different places in scriptures, the Lord is going to reciprocate based on, our desire. So if externally we are going to think that, I want to be a good devotee, but internally, if we don't have that resolve, the strong resolve to become a pure devotee, then its reciprocation is going to be proportionate to that. So that is another point I wanted to make, how powerful devotional service is, that it is going to help us in getting rid of all these sinful tendencies. Actually, there are lot of verses which talks about this, in scriptures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. So many different verses from different cantos talks about how powerful devotional service is, that it is able to remove all the things which we are talking about, the suffering and also the tendencies and the avidya. So let's read a couple of the translations. Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 14th chapter, 19th verse, Lord Krishna is talking to Uddhava. Lord Krishna says, "My dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees." And in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 33rd chapter, 6th verse, Mother Devavati is addressing Lord Kapila. The translation, Srila Prabhupada, I'm just going to read the translation by Srila Prabhupada. "To say nothing of the scriptural advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if one utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him." There are more evidences given in scriptures. This one is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, 17th verse, which talks about how devotional service can even remove the bijam, or sinful desires. Let me read the translation. "Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations." And the final one is how devotional, pure devotional service removes like avidya, which is the root cause of like everything else, including the sinful desires, sinful tendencies. Those are the ones which are making one to cause, commit sinful actions. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 39th verse, spoken by Sanat Kumaras. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome odd-knotted desires for fruitive activities, because this is very difficult. The non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, like you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So like that we can see there are like lots of evidences provided in the scriptures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam and also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Srila Rupa Goswami is quoting from so many different scriptures, like in different Puranas and other scriptures, to establish this point. How pure devotional service is very, very powerful, that we can get rid of even the tendencies to sin. So that means anyone who is intelligent should take shelter of the Lord. But at the same time, the scriptures do warn us that we cannot just go and take shelter of we cannot practice devotional service knowing that the devotional service is very powerful, that it is going to destroy all the sins, all the sufferings and tendencies to sin. So we cannot think that devotional service is very powerful, now let me go on sinning. So again in different places, including Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the atonement by others who are practicing different religious sects. Once a week you can go to the temple or church or wherever you go, and you can atone for the sin. My dear Lord, I committed so many sins, please forgive my sin. And then we start from the blank slate, so that we get more energy to commit more sins. That shouldn't be the mentality, because if you do that, then it is going to be an offense, right? It is going to be an offense. So there are so many other intricate details. So though there are though we talked about how pure devotional service is very powerful, that it can relieve us of all these sins and reactions and sinful tendencies. So depending upon the stage of devotional service one is at, different types of those sins or anarthas are going to be removed. Different types of anarthas are removed at different stages. We don't have time to go through those. But basically the scriptures talk about four different types of anarthas. One anartha is due to our past impious activities. The anarthas which are arising due to the past impious activities. Let's say if someone killed someone in the past lifetime, then someone has to suffer the reactions. So there are anarthas, subtle and gross anarthas one has to go through. And second one is the anarthas which are coming from the pious activities, the past pious activities. So we might have did something really great in the past life. Let's say we might have fed the poor and not prasadam, just some food, feeding the hungry, which is a noble activity. It is a very pious activity. So for that we reap some benefit. And scriptures say that these are anarthas. Why it is anartha? Because when we are going to be because of our past pious activities, we get some material benefit. We might be taking birth in a aristocratic family, or we might be getting lot of wealth or whatever it is. So the tendency of all these material opulences is that it is going to be not conducive for someone to practice devotional service, because one can easily become very proud and one can easily commit offenses. So that's why these are called as anarthas. That is the second category of anarthas. And third category of anartha is anarthas due to offenses. So offending devotees or offending the deities during the worship of the deities. So like, and offending the holy name. Like, you know, every day we chant, the offenses we need to avoid while chanting the holy name of the Lord. So every day, like, you know, we recite those like offenses. So like all these offenses are going to be creating some anarthas, which is not going to be conducive for us to progress in devotional service. And the final category of anarthas is the anarthas which are developed due to our practice of devotional service itself. So when we practice devotional service, we get some side effects. What are those side effects? One gets lot of followers, one gets lot of fame, and one gets lot of wealth. So like all these are not conducive for practicing devotional service. So like all these different categories of anarthas are removed either completely or partially at different stages of our own devotional service. So like we don't have time to go into those details. I just wanted to make like one more like point. After hearing how powerful devotional service is, we might be thinking that, oh, like, you know, like it is okay. So I'm a devotee who is practicing. To whatever degree I am practicing devotional service is going to be getting rid of like all this like anarthas. So we need to be like very, very careful to make sure that we are doing like our part, instead of like, you know, saying that devotional service is going to take care of like everything. So like how we can deal with the offenses we committed, or if we are committing a particular sinful activity, how should we deal with it? So in the interest of time, like, you know, like I will just briefly talk about this. So different devotees give different kind of like formulas. So one formula which like I like is this, like, you know, it is the principle of four R's, like, you know, the letter R. So first R stands for recognize. If we commit an offense, or if we committed a sinful like act, so we need to first of all recognize that, okay, I committed this. So we need to recognize that. So for that is the first step. And second one is repent. So we need to sincerely repent for whatever like offense we committed. And third one is reparation, or we need to take some action, or like, you know, we need to repair. So why I committed this particular offense? So let us look at like, you know, the reason why we committed the offense and take some action. So we need to take some like action. So let's say like, you know, like if I offended a devotee, so what is the action we can take? Immediately go on, like, you know, beg forgiveness from that devotee. So like that, depending upon the particular offense or particular activity, we can take a particular action, that is reparation. And the first one, the last one is resolve. Yeah, we need to have the firm determination to not commit the same offense again. So if you remember, in some of the earlier classes, we did discuss about this like particular statement from Srila Prabhupada, which he mentioned in the preface of Nectar of Instruction. which is one of my like very like favorite statement. That's why, like, you know, like many times you keep on hearing the same statement again and again. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. The advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So this is the attitude, like, you know, there are so many different like layers of meaning to what that attitude is. So like for us, like in terms of these sinful like actions, this is the attitude. Our attitude should be that, like, you know, let me do whatever I can to recognize and repent and, like, you know, like take some kind of action to the sinful activity which I committed. And then let me make sure that I'm not going to be committing the same action again. So that should be like our attitude. So if we carry that kind of attitude, then we will reap like more like, you know, like benefit from the power of pure devotional service. Again, as Krishna says, he reciprocates based on, like, if we take like one step towards Krishna, he takes 1,000 steps towards us. But all our steps are so tiny. So even if Lord Krishna is going to take one step towards us, like, you know, like how large steps he takes, we see from the pastime of Vamanadeva. With one step, like, you know, like he just reached the entire spiritual planets and lower planets, higher planets and all those. So his steps are so large. So even, like, you know, if he is going to take like one step towards us, that is going to be more than sufficient for us to get rid of like all the sins, right? So that's why, like, in scriptures often we see that sometimes we see that, like, you know, if we take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. In other places it will say, like, you know, if we take one step towards him, he takes 100 steps towards us. Or in some other places it might say he takes 1,000 steps towards us. So that is the reason, because his steps are so large, like, you know, compared to our tiny steps, these are like millions and millions of steps. So in the main thing is that, like, you know, like based on our like attitude, the Lord is going to reciprocate. So when he reciprocates, that is how, like, we can get rid of all these sinful like tendencies. So that is the final point I wanted to make. So let's stop here and see whether there are any like questions or comments or corrections, or you want to like add additional points.
I'm wondering if you can explain exactly what sin is. We're speaking a lot of like removing sin, but I don't know if there's any scriptural reference of exactly what is sin or sinful activity, the definition of it.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice question. What is sin? There are like multiple answers. So we can define sin from different like perspectives. So from a very gross level, like, you know, the lowest level of definition is, like, you know, let's say, like what we are reading here, like killing of emperor or that and this. If whenever we are inflicting pain on some other living entities, so that is sin. So when we commit some pain towards other living entities without any reason or even with reason, so with reason, like, you know, like our suffering is going to be reduced, but still we have to suffer. So that is the lowest level of, lowest definition of sin. But there are like higher levels of definition. So depending upon the circumstances or the situation, the scriptures define sin in different like manner, but the highest definition, which is going to be holding true at any situation, is that anything which is going to keep us away from Krishna, anything which is going to keep us away from Krishna, or anything which is going to keep others away from Krishna, so that is sin. So like often, so with this particular definition, sometimes we can see that with other definition, it might not be like sin. It might even like appear externally that we are doing a great service to the devotees. For example, like we might be giving a specific instruction to the devotees to render devotional service in a particular manner. But if that particular instruction is not given thoughtfully, without taking into consideration different aspects, so let's say that particular instruction is actually, instead of helping the devotee to move closer to Krishna, it is actually making them go away from Krishna, then that is, we committed sin. Externally it might appear as if, I gave some instruction based on scripture. Based on scripture, I just recited whatever the scripture is saying and then said, Prabhu or Mataji, you need to do this. From a lowest level of definition, it is, whatever we did is really wonderful. But when you look at it from the highest definition, is it helping myself and the other devotee to move closer and closer to Krishna? If the answer to that question is no, then that is sin. Anyways, there are different layers. This is the short answer based on my understanding. Is that okay, Giridhari Prabhu? Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I'll try to keep it short to be merciful to the devotees. Thank you for your class. You were mentioned at the beginning of your class that killing was one type of sin, and we kill so many living entities. And you also mentioned essentially in your class that something that can also get us in trouble, that we had a tendency to try to kill others' reputation. And we see there's many pastimes where even if you try to kill someone physically, like Haridas Thakur, Prahlad, or Ambarish, still that you can't kill them. So what to speak of killing their reputation? So what do you say to somebody like people who have Ramachandra Khan tendency, like, I'm wasting so much time trying to catch Haridas Thakur in sin, or other devotees in sin, or other people in sin. And even if you catch them in sin, like Lord Shiva gave a class with the Bhagavatam with his wife on his lap. And so we may think, yes, I'll caught somebody in sin. But even if you are seen, that does not make you a seer, because you're not the witness. You can't see in somebody's heart. So what do you say to somebody who wastes their entire life, skipping Bhagavatam, not chanting their rounds properly, because they try to, catch others' faults, like wasting their entire life away? So what do you say to somebody to give them peace of mind? And we all had that tendency. I did, and I realized I couldn't kill anyone's reputation, so I gave that tendency up. I was like, forget it. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So, I will try to answer it in two different ways. Whenever we think that someone is not doing well in their own Krishna consciousness, we need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Because we might not know all these circumstances or things like that, it is very easy to judge like others. It is so easy to judge others. But when it comes to us, we think that, oh, like I'm fine. So it might have taken us 17 years before we started chanting the holy names, and then we expect others to chant the holy name like within the 17 seconds after they came into contact with the devotees. Typically, like, our expectations for others is much, much higher than the expectation which we put for like ourselves. So that is like, you know, one thing we need to be very, very careful of. That's why, like, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that whenever we see faults in others, what is the first thing we ought to do? We need to look into ourselves. Okay, now I am seeing fault in, like, you know, devotee X or Y or Z. They are not, like, you know, like, attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, or not chanting properly, or whatever it is. Then let's, when we think like this, we need to see it like within ourselves. Okay, so I might be sitting in Bhagavatam class, but am I really listening? Am I really applying? I might be applying. Like, you know, like that we can keep on like asking questions. If I am like applying, then I can ask, am I applying to the fullest extent possible based on the capacity I have at this particular moment? So like that, if we keep on like asking questions ourselves, we will see that the first person who is not attending Bhagavatam classes, like us. So it is one thing to like physically being present, and there is another thing to like actually, like, you know, like being absorbed in the messages, and then, like, you know, act on those messages, contemplating on those messages, and come up with actions. Okay, like, I'm going to be applying this principle and that principle and the third principle. So let me apply these principles like from today onwards. So then that is when we get the real benefit or the full benefit of attending the Bhagavatam classes. Same thing, like, you know, like when we think that the other devotee is not chanting, we need to ask ourselves, are we chanting properly? Are we chanting, like, you know, like without committing any like offenses? So like that, whenever we see like fault in others, we need to make sure that first of all we examine ourselves whether we have those faults. More than 99.99999999999, so many nines, I don't want to keep on going until 9 o'clock. So you put like so many nines, percentage of times the fault is going to be within us. That is the reason why we are seeing fault in others. So that is the first, like, in like the answer, like in the first answer. So as practicing devotees, we need to be very, very careful before we go on, like, you know, find fault in like others. Being said that, the second part of the answer is that we might have a particular service. If our service is to train somebody else, then we need to, like, as part of that service, we correct the other person. So that is not considered as finding fault if it is done in the mood of service. So if you recall, maybe like several months back in one of the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we discussed about who can give correction or feedback to somebody. Like, you know, there are like, we looked at four different like aspects. So we need to be the right person, and we need to know the right method, and we need to know the right time, and we need to the fourth one, like, I forgot. So like that, like, you know, there are so many different aspects we need to think about. We cannot, like, you know, like immediately go on preaching to somebody else. First of all, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I the right person? to correct this devotee? If the answer to that question is no, then we don't say anything. We might be like, you know, telling the higher authorities about whatever we observed and leave it up to them, because we don't want to get into like all this and committing Vaishnava aparadh. When our devotional service is so pliable, we cannot like, you know, keep on trying to like, you know, like help others. So if you like, you know, when we take the flights, the flight attendant will give the instruction, in case of an emergency, first put the like, you know, the mask is going to fall down so that you can breathe like oxygen, the oxygen mask. Put the oxygen mask to yourself first, then you try to assist others. Why that is very important? If like, you know, in emergency situation, when there is lack of oxygen, if I am trying to assist others and putting oxygen for all of them, I am going to be suffocating and I am going to die. Then I am not going to be in a position to help others to put that oxygen mask properly. So it might look as if this is more what is the like word I'm looking for? Yes, thank you. Selfish. Like, you know, it might look very selfish. Like, you know, like first put oxygen mask for yourself. What is this? I have a little child next to me, so I need to put oxygen mask for my child first. It is not like I want to be selfless. Let me put the oxygen mask for my child. So during that process, we are not going to be putting the oxygen mask properly for the child. The child is going to die, and I don't have oxygen mask, I'm going to die. So that's why, like, you know, like we need to make sure that whenever we correct like anybody, we need to be like very, very careful. We need to ask the question, am I the correct person to correct the devotee? So anyways, in the interest of time, I don't want to like keep on going. So thank you so much for tolerating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.